世界をつなぐ。
Right, so I'm Lord Fusitua. I'm a policymaker and legislator from the Kingdom of Tonga.
Can you name all the 177 islands of the Kingdom of Tonga?
No.
In 1987, Eric B. and Rakim released the hip-hop classic Paid in Full. It's Bitcoin, a journey which will bring you new color, new dimension, new values.
Absolutely, yes.
Did you already had a chance to swim with humpback whales?
Yes.
Bitcoin made me a better person.
Absolutely, yes.
Do you use a boat as transport more than you use a car on a daily basis?
No.
Will Tonga qualify for Qatar 2022?
Absolutely.
Would you like to see all Tongans running a lightning node in the next 4 years?
Yes.
Do you prefer Ota Ika over Lu Sipi?
Yes.
Tattooing has always been a central custom for Pacific Island cultures, and design were traditionally used as a marker of a person's identity and their role within their community. Do you have a Bitcoin-related tattoo?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yes.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
This is episode 6 of Connect the World. This week, we welcome Lord Fusitua as a guest to join us. Well, Happy New Year, Steph.
Happy New Year, Edward. Let's bring a toast in 2022 and to all our listeners and viewers, the best wishes for 2022, of course.
Best wishes for 2022.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Oh, nice. Hey, well, Edward, let's talk about a little bit about the statistics on the Lightning Network and, of course, our Rings of Fire community. And then the second part, of course, will be with Lord Fusitua.
Yeah, have fun.
Have fun.
Connecter le monde.
So last week, we had more than 19 Bitcoin pushed into the Lightning Network. And this week, we added 7.5 million more, with around 619 members participating in over 72 rings. And Edward, of course, because the year is over, these are also the total statistics of 2021, because obviously we started last year. So let's keep track on it and come back with the total statistics next year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because it is a lot that we did this year.
Yep.
And also, when we look at the whole Lightning Network, as we always do, we see the amount of nodes in January last year, around 5,000 nodes, and now it's almost four times more, 19,200 more or less. And when you look at the network capacity, also it quadrupled. It was 850 Bitcoin January last year. And this year it's 3,306 Bitcoin.
Talking about these nodes, that are the nodes that are visible, right? So
exactly. So there's a lot more.
Behind the Tor are not visible, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's still an amazing increase. I mean,
Those are the private... nodes and private channels, but these are all public. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And also you say Tor, and also behind the VPN. So those nodes, we don't know how much is in there, but I guess it's a lot.
Yeah. Hey, well, the today's value of 1 million satoshis is $492, €436 euros, and a little more than 3,100 Chinese yuan.
Yeah. So that's a decrease, but
it is what it is,
it's
mate.
It's gonna increase sometimes. So.
One set is still one set. That's the thing what counts.
Exactly.
Il mondo.
Some news updates this week, we have also, of course, some software releases. Keep your software always up to date. We say that every week, and there are some updates for Ride Lightning, for TDEX, Mercury Wallet, and Samurai Wallet. So check into that. And a bit of a warning for LastPass users, because of course it's good to always use a password manager, mm-hmm. but LastPass users encountered a message saying that someone just used their master password. And well, our tip is very simple. Always use two-step verification, and then you won't be anxious when you receive a message like that, because you know that somebody is not going to be able to enter in your LastPass password manager. So no sweat. And then last bit, that's interesting, I guess. Well, LastBit's mission is to make cheap instant payments possible to use globally. And this year they put out the world's first lightning-powered MasterCard. And with the last upgrade they unlocked, you can use it also with Apple Pay and Google Pay on your phone. And they also showed on Twitter a little video where they showed that you can pay with your smartwatch.
I will use it. I subscribe to it, because that's the thing that was missing for me, right? I mean, yeah, it works so flawless. Apple Pay on your iPhone or your Apple Watch, and now I can,
it's so easy,
can use it with paying with Satoshi. So
and the KYC, I don't know how it went for you, but it was very fast.
Inconvenient.
Well, there are the usual things. You make a picture of your identity card and
selfie.
Yeah, that's right. And they also, LastBit Lite and LastBit Cards is built on the base layer of Striga Core, and the Striga API. Give untethered access to Bitcoin, Lightning, IBAN, and other fintech companies. And I think that's very interesting. Perhaps you can check it out on Striga.com to know more about it, because they're really building a global payment system together. And I think those initiatives, that's what we need, that we can combine the Bitcoin world with the fiat world, and really use it for what I think it's made for. So
build the future. They build the future, right?
Exactly.
Connect the world.
Yeah, so let's dive a deeper in our Ring of Fire community. Let's start with the rings forecast. We have opened a poll for the 500k 21st ring. So 21st is always a nice figure, of course. there are already two persons who signed up for that one. So six spots left. And the 1 million Satoshi's 22nd ring, there are two spots left. And the 2 million Satoshi's 13th ring, there are also six spots left.
Unganisha Dunia.
And of course, last week we had a bit we only balanced one ring, of course, due to the holidays. But this week we balanced four. So that was really nice. Starting with the 21st 1 million Satoshis ring. And there we had a ring leader from Canada. Even during the holidays, the community is busy with connecting the world. Although gossip was initially once again not on our side, our ring leader Kameri from Canada was fearless. Unfortunately, just when we were about to balance, one of the participants got his liquidity drained. He did his best to rebalance, but it didn't work out as we hoped. So fortunately, the day after, Kameri was able to establish another channel and resume, and got the group balanced even 15 minutes earlier than planned to do. So great job, Kameri. Awesome. And then we had our ring with six countries involved. Yeah, that was the record-breaking ring. Yeah, that was awesome. So we balanced that one. So this six countries record-breaking ring was balanced by Juicy. He was from Finland, and he might be also be the first ring leader from Finland. So that's always nice to see. Although the balancing was postponed with 10 minutes because he was stuck in snow, hashtag very Finnish problems, he managed everything perfectly, and we balanced this beautiful ring for only three Satoshis. So well done. And after that, we had the 3 million Satoshis eighth ring. This was a very nice cooperation between Holland and Germany, I see. It took less than 24 hours after 2021 to after 2021 started for this ring to get balanced. Thanks to the fast work of our ringleader Ole and his ring colleagues, they succeeded in balancing the ring within 20 minutes. And last but not least, we had the 3 million Satoshis seventh ring. And this was a cooperation between USA and the Netherlands. And we keep on going. Second ring of 2022, a nice cooperation between, as I said, the Netherlands and USA. Thanks for your work, Turbo Bosch, who was the ringleader. You indeed had the turbo on with this one. Bosch shared his screen to let the others witness the magic. Great job, and on to the next one.
Do you know what country Ole is from?
Yeah, from Holland.
From,
yeah,
from
yeah.
Holland, yeah. Okay. No, because we're thinking, no, Ole, Spanish. It's like Spanish.
No, from Holland. So,
no, okay.
That's what it is for this week.
And I saw also their donation of Turbo Bus and Ole. Yeah. So thanks for that. And maybe the other rings also.
Yeah, there
you
were a couple,
going.
A couple of donations. So yeah. great nice. Work, guys. Thanks for that. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. So we burned everything down again this week. Steph, thanks. And let's go to the lightning notes.
Let's go.
All right. Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible. And keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like MyNode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF and follow our lightning leader, Johnny Kiyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check SAT the trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
All right, thank
Connect
you all.
Connect the World.
Thank you, Lord Fusitua. Awesome to meet you in person. Yeah, well, online, of course. But yeah, and yeah, I saw a lot of podcasts where you talked about Tonga and explained a lot about the political system you have. It was very interesting, and good to have you within this podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's nice and. You were saying, and I was very interested in it, you have a Bitcoin-related tattoo. So what kind of tattoo is it?
Well, that's...
You don't have to show it, but...
That's a bit of a misnomer. It's Bitcoin-related in that it is... it's a traditional tattoo, but it's a tattoo representing our version of sound money. So...
Yeah.
Now that I understand that Bitcoin is the only sound money, then this tattoo must mean Bitcoin because there is no other sound money but Bitcoin. So even though it's an old traditional tattoo, it means Bitcoin now.
Awesome. And
you, Steph, you were also getting one, or
no? I'm not having any tattoos at the moment, and I'm not planning to have, but yeah, never say never. So but I'm also very curious because you thought that you had the chance to swim with the humpback whale. They are very common in your area, or?
Yes. So humpback whales, excuse me, very common in the Northern Islands in Tonga. The main island in the south is a coral atoll, a flat coral island. The northern islands are volcanic islands, so they're the ones that don't really have... in a coral island, there's sand, and then there's a very long reef before you reach the deep water. So it's about a kilometre from the shore. With volcanic islands, the deep water comes right up to the land. So humpback whales are more common there. And in an island called Vava'u, one of the northern island groups, humpback whales are plentiful. And we have it's one of a tourist sort of attractions, is that it's the only place in the world that you can legally swim with humpback whales. And as I said, when you swim with one, you grab it by the fin, and that whale, which is about the size of a small house, it takes you under. It's very powerful and takes you under the water. Very quickly, you'll be under nearly 100 meters deep. At that speed and that depth, you think it feels like you are right next to God. It's pretty.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, that's real nature. Awesome. Right.
You realize how powerful nature is and how insane you are.
Yeah.
I love to scuba dive, so maybe I have to plan a trip to Tonga one day.
It's great scuba diving, in especially the coral islands, because there's so much coral to explore, and the volcanic islands too. Just the depth of the ocean makes it very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey, we can imagine you have a very limited time because of all the things you're involved with. So
no worries.
I think we
want to focus on a more specific subject. I think we already met in the Tonga Liquidity Telegram group.
All right.
And it was nice. I was triggered by the underlying message also of Prem and Sol with perfectly conveys the Ring of Fire concept.
Yes.
And they say, well, build bridges, not walls. And I think that's actually exactly what you're doing. So I think, let's kick off with the 21 minutes.
Yes, let's go to the 21 minutes, Edward.
Sounds good.
All right, let's do it.
Verbind die wereld.
Well, Prem crafted the idea of a Tonga ring of fire, and together with Soul Exporter, like I said, put up the group Liquidity for Tonga. Can you explain a little bit about this project and how it's developing right now?
Yeah, so Prem and Soul Exporter just, out of the goodness of their hearts, we were all involved in the plebs for El Salvador Ring of Fire. It's another group in Telegram. And out of that, Prem and Soul Exporter just came up with the idea of doing Liquidity for Tonga, Liquidity Rings. So they formed the group and began inviting people. And I wasn't part of initially forming the group, but I was invited in. And then seeing the work that they were doing, I was amazed at the fact that they were volunteering their time to try and establish Liquidity Rings, which could be channeled back home to Tonga. So the concept was to have nodes in places where a lot of Tongans live, where our concentrations of our diaspora are. And for our concentrations of our diaspora there to be able to connect to those nodes to and from Tonga, to send liquidity to and from Tonga, more to Tonga. So to provide frictionless channels of liquidity to get remittance payments directly from those diaspora centres in Auckland, New Zealand, in Sydney, in Melbourne and Brisbane in Australia, and in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Salt Lake City in the United States. and in Honolulu, La'ie, and Oahu in Hawaii. Those are the major centers of the Tongan diaspora. So, yeah, anyone in the Tongan diaspora in those places can get liquidity for free straight through our liquidity rings, eventually coming through my two nodes, or my one node at the moment. The other, one of the nodes took a bath, a nurse, a porter juggle.
Yeah, so, I've read it. Yeah, so it's not working anymore, no.
No, it's being replaced. I've got the person that custom built the first two for me. He's custom building two more to replace that one. So we've got the My Node up. He'll get the Raspberry Blitz and the Umbral ready by probably the first week of January.
Cool. Yeah, so you have a Raspberry Blitz, an Umbral, and a MyNode. So three to diversificate something.
You taught yourself to code. I heard that in a podcast. Right. I think it was with Bitcoin Magazine. And what I was thinking, what amazes you the most for if you look at the Lightning Network from a technical perspective?
Right. From a technical perspective, I think the fact it's not so much that it amazes me that the technology is there because it's an old technology, but the thought of keeping in a TCP/IP handshake open, TCP/IP is old, but the idea of using that to channel liquidity and to leave that handshake open and not write it to base chain, but keep it constantly open and just get liquidity like balls on a abacus, going back and forward endlessly and forever, if you want, is genius. I think that the concept of using that older technology on Bitcoin, of course, is a brilliant idea. That makes a lot of sense.
Hey, and with the Spiral from Jack Dorsey, had a developer kit released. Do you know that, and are you going to experiment with it?
No, I probably will, but not yet. As you said, I have kind of a million things that I'm doing at the moment. So I'm pretty busy with the Liquidity for Tonga project. I run a team of 146 Tongan Bitcoin miners. The mining takes up a lot of time also, and to help them finance their mines, I also run a team of 200 Tongan Forex traders. That's how they get their fiat to buy their rigs and buy their nodes.
And then, do you know other people from Tonga who are running a Lightning node then? Because
I'm the only Lightning node for Tonga at the moment.
The only?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, awesome. I think
my network is the only. We've had donations to buy. They were donations for liquidity into the channels. But when I received the donations, I asked permission from the the donors, is it okay if we use part of this to buy some nodes for Tonga? And they said yes. So we're currently, while my two are being built, they're building three nodes to send back to the islands to be used from there.
Yeah.
So as you may have heard in the other podcasts, our borders are shut at the moment, so we can't get anything.
Yeah, I heard it.
So as soon as they open, then we can get the nodes in.
Awesome.
Well, I was wanting to ask, everywhere in the world, charity initiatives are popping up in combination with Lightning. Is there something similar in Tonga happening? So you were saying like kind of donations or something?
That's right. So with the Liquidity for Tonga project, a lot of people who can't take the time to run a node, they'll just donate liquidity to put on the existing nodes.
Okay.
So
yeah, so donating liquidity. Yeah.
Is donating liquidity to the existing nodes.
Yeah.
Cool. And in what way do you think a good connection between Tonga and the rest of the world on the Lightning Network will benefit Tonga?
Well, as you would have heard in the other podcast, Tonga's GDP is made up 40.1% of remittances. So nearly half of our economy is constituted by remittances. So our GDP, our gross domestic product last year, was 500 million. 200 million of that was remittances from the diaspora living overseas. The problem is only 130 million got to Tonga because Western Union and the others took about 70 million in fees. So with Bitcoin on the Lightning Network, that gives us cross-border, international, peer-to-peer payments with no intermediaries instantly and pretty much for free. So Lightning's the only protocol that can do that while still offering the security of the most secure base chain on the planet. XRP and these things, they boast they can get liquidity instantly here and there. My criticism of them is, what's the point of getting zero value around the world instantly? Because XRP has no value.
Well, it's interesting that it the benefits of Fortonga is very very clear, I think.
That's right.
And perhaps because we have some questions are going more in depth with what you're saying now, but maybe let's step back. And I was curious about the inhabitants of Tonga. How is their financial situation, for example?
On an international level, Tonga is not quite least developed nation status. That's a category the World Bank has. It's above that. But the average wage is something between $100 to $150 a week. So that's not very much to live on. But that is within the context of our cultural system. So our culture is built on a version of a communal culture where our entire culture is based on the nuclear and extended family. So, for instance, there is zero homelessness in Tonga, hard zero, because in our culture it's a great shame and a stigma for your family, if anyone, and when you say family, that can go fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth cousins. We have no word for cousin and no word for uncle or aunt, because your tenth cousin is the same as your brother and your uncle or your aunt is the same as your parents in our culture.
That's amazing.
So it's a great stigma for our culture if you let anyone in your family be homeless. So no one, there'll always be a relative somewhere that you can live at for free, you can eat for free. So that's why we don't need a social welfare system, because that's entirely taken care of by our family system.
That's nice. Yeah, that's totally different here in Holland, right, Steph?
It's very different,
to take care of one another. That's interesting.
What percentage of the population in Tonga knows about Bitcoin and Lightning as of now, do you think?
I'd say it's close to similar to global levels. So it'll be between 1% and 4%, maybe.
And are there already merchants or public places in Tonga using Lightning?
Not officially, because under Tongan law, financial law, if you used Lightning that central bank would consider you as a trying to act as a broker or an exchange, because obviously you have to give the customer change, which means you have to give them goods in exchange for payment. So you will need a financial services operator's license to do that. But
yeah,
our merchants are doing it anyway. So our merchants accept base chain and accept sats on Lightning already. 100% of our retail sector is ethnically Chinese controlled. 5% of our population is ethnically Chinese now. And when they began coming into the country in 97, when Hong Kong went back to China, their access to cheap Chinese goods in mainland China made it impossible for our merchants to compete with them. So, they transact, are used to transacting in a digital fiat app called WeChat, which is basically what Jack Dorsey's trying to do with Twitter. They've been doing in China for a decade, which is a social network app that uses money also. So transitioning to Bitcoin was not too much of a big deal for them. So they'll accept payment on base layer. They'll accept payment in Lightning. Pretty much 80% of the Chinese merchants do so.
Okay. And would you like to have your own Tonga wallet then, like the Bitcoin Beach wallet, for example, that they use in El Zonte in El Salvador? And how could it help people to adopt Bitcoin faster?
So I've been working with Luis Rodriguez, who's the head of the El Salvadoran Central Bank and who's responsible for the Chivo rollout. A national wallet would be ideal. Why? Because obviously there'll be a little bit of centralization like there is with Chivo, but that's the only way to connect a Bitcoin trust fund to it. And it's essential to connect the trust fund because we need a mechanism like El Salvador where the government eats the Forex slippage when the price of Bitcoin or the price of the dollar goes up and down. So as you know, in El Salvador, when you buy a coconut on the side of the road over Lightning, it connects to the Bitcoin trust fund. And if there's any slippage in the price of Bitcoin or the US dollar, that gets charged to the Bitcoin trust fund, and the customer will only have exactly the price of the coconut deducted from his wallet, and the merchant will have exactly the price added to theirs, and any slippage will get charged to the trust fund. So the only way to do that is to have a national wallet. So that is for that reason, we would have to.
Yeah. And if everybody will use that, is it still necessary to have Bitcoin as a legal tender in Tonga?
So we need it as legal tender so that people can transact and save in the protocol that they receive from remittances. So they receive remittances and they can unofficially spend it at most of the stores. But if the government said tomorrow, you can't spend Bitcoin because it's not legal tender, then they can do that. If it's legal tender, then they can't do that. They have to accept Bitcoin.
And do you have a timestamp or something in mind? Does it need to be legal tender in 2 years or 1 year or a month?
How long it'll take is still up for debate. But the bill is going to Parliament in September. So Parliament opens in June. Parliament opens in June, and by law, June, you can only deal with the budget, the national budget.
Yeah.
And then after that, by law, we have the constituency visits where Parliament closes and all the MPs go back to their constituents gather data for the parliamentary year. And then by law, after that, in August, government has their legislative package presented. Then in September, bills from the other members of the House can be presented. So the bill was already drafted earlier this year. With the help, the team in El Salvador were kind enough to give me an early copy of their bill, which we've amended to fit Tonga. And that's been ready since July.
Well, that's the political part. And I was also thinking, well, not all islands of the 170 islands are, of course, populated, but is it important to have, like, for example, 5G implemented in Tonga for the infrastructure of internet? Because we know that you said a couple of times that the internet is very good in Tonga, but is it that good that it can suit all the population with a smartphone to have access like a Strike or a Bitcoin wallet, Lightning wallet from Tonga?
Yep. So so we have a phone company called Digicel, which is a global company. It's an Irish company, but they operate mostly in developing world, in Africa, the Caribbean, South America, and the Pacific. And they have a digital fiat remittance platform on their phones where people can send money from the overseas back to Tonga. So for them to get full market penetration, they need everyone to have a cell phone. So they give out free cell phones. So Tonga's 99.95%. Smartphone penetration. Yeah. So, yeah, everyone in the country has a smartphone. And we had fiber to the door laid in 2014. So at the time, my mother was the Minister of Communications. She's the one who negotiated the deal with the World Bank, who paid for the fiber to the door. And going through that process, I convinced her that it would make sense to future-proof the network to make sure we had enough bandwidth to last for the next 100 years. So we have a country of 100,000, but we have about enough bandwidth for 1 million people. So we have 100 gigabit up and down.
A lot of foreign Bitcoiners can migrate to your country, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, digital nomad, perfect. So there's hundreds of gigabit up and down, and the whole country only uses 5 gigabit.
Okay.
The network is so broad that you've got unpopulated islands that have no running water and no electricity, but they have 5G internet.
So, incredible.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Well, we are almost running out of time, but I wanted to ask you another question about another project you're involved in, of course, the GOPAC. You already mentioned it. That's GOPAC right. Stands for Global Organization of Parliamentarians Against Corruption. Do you think, you are the chairman of GOPAC, do you think Bitcoin will play a role in solving corruption worldwide?
100%. Because it's pseudonymous, it makes it easier for us to trace, to be honest. The currency of crime is fiat cash. So the cartels, the cocaine cartels use fiat cash. The triads who ship heroin out of China use fiat cash because it's anonymous. So we trace that fiat cash. With NATO, we trace the illicit financial flows that go to ISIS in the Middle East. And with Interpol, we trace the financial flows that go from China with the triads and the heroin that come out and from the cartels in South America. And Bitcoin, as the thing with Bitcoin, Coinbase has been forced to open up their books reveal criminals who had accounts with them. Because KYC now in most countries means owning Bitcoin has to be connected to an account which has been KYC'd, it's much easier to trace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's also a very good part of Bitcoin because, yeah, you heard in our country, you hear a lot of that Bitcoin is always used by the criminals. Or
yeah, but the cash money is...
But I think it's also a bit... It can play a big role in solving criminal activities.
That's legacy finance FUD, that Bitcoin is a criminal currency. No, criminals' currency is cash because it's anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cash money, yeah, because it's anonymous. Yeah, that's the most difficult thing. And well, we see also here that cash money is going to be obsolete, I think. But only time will tell. We heard the gong and the TikTok, and that means we have a lot more questions. But perhaps on another show, we would like to ask them to you. Let's have a look. Last week, we had Wouter Constant in our episode, and he had a question for you. I'm going to hit it so you can hear, and then you can answer it later. Here it comes.
Regarding solving the current concerns and reaching the goals that you're trying to achieve right now, that you're using Bitcoin for, my question would be, is Bitcoin alone enough?
Yeah, 100%. Bitcoin will solve GDP remittance dependence everywhere in the world, and it will solve hyperinflation. The 4 billion people that suffer from GDP remittance dependence, 2 billion of whom are unbanked, Bitcoin is not only enough, it is the only solution for them.
All right.
Great.
Great. Yeah. So 100%. That's nice.
You're convinced, man. But I'm also convinced. So we share.
Yeah.
And next time we have a new guest. It's Patrick van der Meijden from Bitkassa. He helps merchants in Holland to accept Lightning or Bitcoin, mm-hmm. of course. And we want to ask him a question from you. Which question can we ask him?
Yep. So in your acceptance of Bitcoin on Lightning, as I just said, it is going to drive, Lightning will drive Bitcoin adoption globally for the next decade. Unfortunately, the question I was going to ask you is why.
Yeah.
And I've already given you the answer because it solves GDP remittance dependence and hyperinflation. So my question for you then is, how do you think Bitcoin on Lightning will drive adoption through your experience in using it?
Great. We will ask him.
Yeah, that's a really nice question for him. I think he will know just the answer. I hope so. We will hear it next week. Thank you.
Spojte svět dohromady.
Well, of course, Happy New Year to all, because when this is aired, it's a Happy New Year. So I hope also to you, Lord, that you have a good recovery there in the hospital.
Thank you.
So thank you for being with us. Thank you.
No problem.
And
my pleasure.
Also thanks for listening, and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. So, well, we say keep those nodes running and sats flowing and rings burning, and see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Aloha.
Toki, see you.
Love it.